Well, welcome to the world of point spreads, parlays, prop bets, because you can now legally bet on sports in Massachusetts. You can bet on the Bruins, Celtics, and of course the Super Bowl, but also, let's say, the outcome of a Korean baseball game or Australian rules football. And oddly enough, Nathan's famous hot dog eating contest and a whole lot more. In a policy change that has been years in the making, as of 10 a.m. today, three Massachusetts casinos are taking in-person cash bets: Plain Ridge Park Casino, MGM Springfield, and Encore Boston Harbor.
First bettors placing their first initial bets in our WinBet Sport kiosk located by the main courthouse.
That sound courtesy of WBUR reporter Walter Wuthman, who, as you can hear from the background noise, is joining us from the Encore as things are unfolding. Walt, hello.
Good morning, Tiziana.
Is it busy, Walt? Tell us what's going on.
Yeah, it is busy. It's probably busier than your typical Tuesday morning. I'm standing right in front of the Sports Bets kiosk section, where at 10 o'clock they count it down very dramatically. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And then 30 people place the first legal sports bets in Massachusetts on these kiosks.
And as I understand it, Walt, there's two ways to bet there. You can go to these electronic kiosks where you don't, you know, speak with a person, you insert cash, you place a bet on a digital screen, or you can go to a counter and talk to a person and place a bet there. Is that right?
That's exactly right. So this section, there's like two banks of these huge fancy screens. They're really bright. They're really easy to use. There's people using them right now, actually. But if you walk across the casino floor, there's live tellers. There's like 10 booths, and there's an actual human being who can help you place your first sports bet.
And the
first legal sports bet in Massachusetts.
That is a fair point, Walt, and an important one. And I do want to note, digital betting, online betting, debit card betting, not in the mix yet. Here in the Commonwealth. Walt, in those first bets placed, my understanding is some of that was curated, and there were some fairly famous figures who participated. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Definitely. Former Patriots players Matt Light and Ty Law, former Red Sox legend Johnny Damon, and I regret to tell you, Tiziana, he said he wanted to bet on the Red Sox to make the playoffs, but he couldn't do it. So he's betting instead on the Eagles to win the Super Bowl.
So wait, he couldn't do it, meaning he could not in good conscience do it, or he physically...
Not in good conscience. He doesn't think this team is making the playoffs.
Oh my gosh. Well, you just made some news with that one, Walt. All right, before I let you go, and we'll check in with you again later, Walt, but before I let you go, What are the trends in how many people are betting, who you're seeing betting, what kinds of bets are getting placed? Are we all over the place, or are there some themes here?
It's a little all over the place, and I mean, it's definitely like a party celebratory atmosphere here today. Who knows if it's going to be this busy every day, but I mean, the state is estimating that they're going to bring in anywhere from like $30 million to $60 million of new tax revenue every year through legalized sports betting.
And that's the tax revenue on a much larger nut that would be the transactions themselves, right, Walt?
Exactly.
Okay, so Walter Wuthman, WBUR reporter, you're at the Encore. We will come back to you a little bit later and check in again on how things are unfolding. So we'll talk to you in a bit, Walt. Thanks.
Thanks.
Okay, so mixed feelings in the Commonwealth about this change. Some really want it, some don't. And with policy changes come other changes. So throughout the debates about legalizing sports betting in the Commonwealth, we've spoken with our next two guests, and we wanted to check in with them today. Andrew Zimbalist is professor emeritus of economics at Smith College. He's been following the legalization of sports betting nationwide. And Victor Matheson is a professor of economics and accounting at Holy Cross with a specialization in sports economics and gambling. Andrew, welcome back.
Thank you. Good morning, Tiziana.
And Victor, you as well. Welcome back.
Well, it's great to be here.
So we've come to know the two of you of having just a little bit of different worldview on betting. So I want to start by just your reactions. The moment's actually here, and we heard it happening real time with Walt Wuthman there. Andrew Zimbalist, what are your reactions?
Well, you know, to me, the key point that was brought out is that the state is hoping to collect $30 to $50 million in revenue. That's what this is all about. Massachusetts doesn't want to stand by while adjacent states are allowing this to happen and pulling in all of the revenue. Of course, if it were completely illegalized in Massachusetts, then people would have to go to surrounding states. And I suspect what it will mean down the road is that some of the limitations that are currently in place, such as online betting, will be lifted, because we don't want to, the state won't want to miss out on the revenue connected to that either. One of the things that the state does allow, again, in a limited way, is betting on college games. And I think that's particularly dangerous. But we'll hold off on that until Victor has a say.
Well, so, and let me just note for listeners, a couple of just clarifications there. Again, we are at cash-only betting right now. And right now, you can only bet in person in three casinos. Over time, there will be more casinos. And there is a time coming in about a month when online betting through a number of vendors will also become possible, although betting on credit in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts will not be allowed. In addition, we are limited here in the Commonwealth to bets on Massachusetts college sports teams unless they are participating in NCAA tournaments. So, first, let me turn to you, Victor. One, I got all that right, yes?
No, you did get all of that exactly right. This is a fun kind of start, you know, for the people who really like sports gambling. Where sports gambling will really take off in the state here is in early March when we legalize online gaming. So, yeah, there are currently three physical locations that you can bet at, and there'll be a couple more being added over the course of the next year. But what really happens here is in early March, there's going to be about 5 million places in the state where you can bet, because you're going to be able to do it on your phone from any one of about 15 different apps. We'll be happy to take your money and allow you to bet, again, on a wide range of sporting events and even some non-sporting events. So you can bet on the Oscars if you're not a sports person.
And I do want to note, as of right now, sports betting is legal in 36 states. That number up by six just in recent weeks. And this all kind of came after basically a logjam was broken in 2018 when the Supreme Court struck down the Professional and Amateur Sports Protection Act of 1992, which was the federal ban on sports betting. So two things I want to get to here, and I'll pick up the thread that you've left hanging for us, Andrew Zimbalist, which is what you think happens with college over time. And as I know from previous conversations with you, what concerns you about that. So let's pick up that thread.
So there are 15.8 million undergraduate students in the United States. Various surveys have suggested that two-thirds of college students bet on sports, and somewhere between 2 and 7%, depending on who's doing the estimating, are problem of the people who participate, they're problem gamblers. That leaves you with somewhere in the neighborhood of 478,000 college students, by these estimates, who are problem gamblers. I think that not only disrupts the lives of the problem gamblers, but it disrupts the lives of their fellow students in the dormitories. So I think there's a substantial impact there. Another impact is that, just like with the Chicago Black Sox in 1919, who were angry at their owner, Charles Comiskey, because he wasn't paying them a competitive salary, they took bribes to blow the 1919 World Series. College students, although they're now, some of them are getting some NIL, name, image, and likeness, or publicity rights income, they're not getting paid in real dollars. And
you mean the athletes?
Of them, the athletes, and a large numbers of them probably feel cheated, and hence are quite susceptible to any approach from gamblers. Same thing might go with the refs. So it does challenge the underlying integrity of the contest, the athletic integrity, as well as potentially damaging the social fabric within the broader university. So I think it's a very serious thing to watch. And, you know, it is legalized now. So people say because it's legalized, we'll be able to watch it better. But I don't know if you can really watch better the life of problem gamblers. What you can watch better are shifts in the gambling odds as the game approaches, or as a particular part of the game approaches. And those shifts in gambling odds help you understand the potential for interference by the gamblers or point fixing with the games. So you can better understand that and maybe better control that. But it doesn't solve the larger problems in college sports betting.
So as Andrew Zimbalist, who's a professor emeritus of economics at Smith, reminds us that those numbers would play out at roughly 500,000 college students who could have a sports gambling problem. I'll say if you are struggling with a gambling addiction, you can get help by calling the Massachusetts Problem Gambling Helpline, which is at 800-327-5050. That's 800-327-5050. Turning back to Victor Matheson, professor of economics at Holy Cross. So Victor, what makes those risks worth it? Now, I'm not actually asking an existential question. The state has said, we passed this. We think the risks are worth it because of revenue. You mentioned that revenue. And to point out, sports betting in Massachusetts will be taxed at 15% for in-person bets at casinos and later 20% for online bets. So back that out for us. What is the size of the industry that we could be looking at here in Massachusetts? Because I got to tell you, $50, $60, $70, $80 million, while a lot, also kind of doesn't seem like a lot, Victor.
So I think most people are surprised by the amount of actual gambling that does take place. So if Massachusetts ends up like we're seeing in states like Arizona and New Jersey that have legalized gambling a little bit earlier here, we're probably looking at about $5 billion of wagers being made every year in Massachusetts. The vast majority of those, over 90% of those, will be made on phone, not in the casinos. Even in Vegas, you know, home of all the grand casinos, even there, two-thirds of all sports betting is done on people's phones, not in the casinos. $5 billion means that that's $1,000 of betting being done by every adult on average. And of course, we know a lot of people aren't going to bet at all. So that does mean, again, going right to Andy's point, there are some people who are going to be engaging in a massive amount of gambling and certainly an unhealthy amount of gambling. That being said, we have the gaming companies themselves are probably looking at about $500 million a year in annual revenue. $500 million a year in annual revenue. Where does that money come from? Obviously, right out of people's pockets. This is, again, you know, the existential question is this a good thing or a bad thing? To the extent that people enjoy it and it's a form of entertainment, I don't think any economist has a problem with that. To the extent that it is an expensive lesson for some people who think they are too smart for the casinos, they will quickly find out they're not. To the extent that the 1, 2, 5, 7% of people who find that they have a gambling compulsion, this is a significant public health issue. That being said, again, for the vast majority of people, it's a fun and exciting thing that people can do. That is not particularly harmful, although potentially expensive. But again, Andy's exactly right, that there is a segment of the population that this is wildly problematic for.
So I want to hit just a couple of other things, and I'm going to play a little bit of sound here. Andrew Zimbalist, representatives for professional athlete unions, told the Massachusetts Gaming Commission that the commission should be prepared to take swift action to prevent bettors from harassing players who maybe miss a key free throw that spoils someone's bet. Union reps say the commission should be ready also to potentially ban betting on specific games or sets of games like the World Series, for example. Here's one of those union reps, attorney Jim Eisenberg.
We think it's important that it be made clear that that threat, for lack of a better word, exists in extreme cases where the commission determines it's just not safe for the players to be playing because of threats, intimidation, and the like.
Sports betting has been legal in Las Vegas since the late 1940s. It's been legal in other countries. Is that a legit concern? And do we have evidence from other places to demonstrate that it can be mitigated? Or is it open season should we find ourselves in that situation, Andrew?
Well, look, first of all, I think it's a very real problem. There was a story last week about a college athlete whose team lost a game and some gamblers attacked him physically. And there's no reason why that will continue to happen. We can ask police forces and other people from government to try to watch over that and to minimize it. But they're not going to be able to follow every single player in the United States. You know, you're talking about, there are 500,000 athletes in the United States who play college sports, betting is going to become more and more widespread, and they're going to be betting, as you and Victor have pointed out, there's going to be betting not just on the outcome of games, but on what every single play, during the game. So there's an enormous amount of betting in action that's out there, and a large number of people who are engaging in it. So I think that the physical danger and the violence problem is there. It's not going to go away. We can mitigate it, yes, but it's going to be there forever.
And Victor Matheson, over the next, let's say, 3 months, what are you watching more closely for as somebody who studies sports economics and gambling?
So I think it'll be interesting to see exactly how many licenses end up going out for the online betting. Again, I know we're talking about this today because of the excitement associated with the first in-person betting.
But again, it is day one.
Yeah, that's going to be a very, very tiny portion of this whole market. And what'll be interesting is exactly how much revenue is being generated on the online apps. It's coming right in time of March Madness. That's one of the two big sports betting events of the year. It's the Super Bowl and it's March Madness. And the thing, again, just to play off what Andy's saying here is corruption in the game. We can look back to the Black Sox of 1919, but I think most of the sports leagues have realized that this is not a significant issue for them. You know, look at the Celtics here. Jason Tatum, he's their big star. He makes about $32 million a year. He's not going to be throwing games just for a bribe payment by some gambling consortium. Shoeless Joe Jackson back in 1919, he took $5,000 of money to throw the World Series along with a bunch of other teammates. But he was only making $8,000 that year. So that's tempting. That's not going to happen. But that's why most of the big professional leagues have gone full in on gambling, right? So the NFL, the NBA, the NHL, they all have now professional. They all now have gambling sponsors. They have official licensed partners with casinos. So that's going to bring in at least $1 billion a year in sponsorship revenue among the big leagues.
All right.
The NCAA is who's resisting this, again, because they know they're most vulnerable because they have this successful cartel that's kept their wages down to those players. And now here's one of the real harms that's coming from that, because, again, those players are particularly susceptible, just like Andy says.
All right. Victor Matheson of Holy Cross, Andrew Zimbalist of Smith College, thanks to both of you.
Thanks for having us.
And, of course, worth noting as we turn back to Walter Wuthman at the Encore that, of course, former Massachusetts Governor Baker, about to be in charge of the NCAA that Victor Matheson was just talking about, he starts at the beginning of March. So, Walt, we'll come back to you, back into this moment, which is a first here in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. I understand that you wanted to see how it was going to work and you placed a small bet of your own just to see how the mechanics go. Is that right?
I did. I placed a bet for research purposes with my money, not WBUR's, but to see how these kiosks work. And it is really easy. You can see how they're trying to make this as accessible to as many people as they can. So I was kind of scrolling through all the odds and all the lines. I saw the Knicks are playing the Lakers tonight. I don't really care about either team, but I put $10 on the Knicks to beat the Lakers. They're favored by -2.5. So the Knicks need to beat the Lakers by more than 3 points for my $10 bet to make me $18.
All right. Well,
so stay tuned. Stay tuned on that.
I will at least personally check in with you on that later. Walter Wuthman, again, WBUR reporter, has been at the Encore Casino this morning, one of three casinos that is now taking in-person cash betting in Massachusetts. Walt, thanks.
Thank you.